We'll take your calls and texts right throughout the afternoon. Now, do you meditate? And when you talk to people who practice mindfulness, they do want to tell you a lot about it, and they do swear by it. You've probably noticed that there are a lot of apps, there are a lot of programs that you can sign up to get started. But we're just about to talk to someone who says anyone can do it and you don't actually have to pay a thing. Anne-Marie Men is a clinical psychologist, mind and body educator, and a trauma-informed yoga teacher. That's quite the mouthful, Anne-Marie, but very, very valuable. Tell me a little bit about your message today.
Hi, Prue. Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity and introducing me in that way. Yeah, just like you said, I think it's so important to get the message out there that becoming aware of mind and body connection and really practicing mindfulness in whichever way, shape or form can be incredibly helpful, particularly at this time of the year when stress levels are high and energy levels are low. So definitely good idea to get started if you're not already practicing some kind of mindfulness.
How do you get started? Because, I mean, I think people who are already doing it, it's fine. They kind of know how to practice. They might have a regular session set up. But if you've never done it before, it can be quite daunting to know what it is and, you know, how to do it.
Absolutely. And I think there's a bit of misconception around meditation as well. I think meditation sometimes sounds like this strange spiritual practice, perhaps, you know, sitting cross-legged with incense sticks behind you or anything like that. And in actual fact, meditation has its historical footing in Buddhism. But these days, and definitely since the 1970s, meditation, mindfulness, type of relaxation exercises have really become very commonplace here in our Western societies as well. And there's a really nice definition by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is often referred to as almost like the father of mindfulness in the West. So he refers to mindfulness as a moment-to-moment awareness cultivated by paying attention in a specific way, in the present moment, non-reactively, non-judgmentally, and open-heartedly as possible. So what that basically means is that we really see mindfulness as a grounding or an anchoring experience. So being in the now, being in the present without labeling an experience as good or bad. And it kind of goes back to how our minds usually work. So, you know, every day our minds are incredibly busy, and they're meant to be, by the way. That's very normal. We have lots of thoughts, feelings, memories. In actual fact, there's some research that suggests that we have about between 30 and 40,000 thoughts a day. So that's a lot of thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts or feelings or memories can bring us into a state of physiological and mental distress. So, you know, sometimes even triggering our nervous system into fight, flight, or even freeze. And what mindfulness does, or the idea behind this concept, is that mindfulness can bring us back into the present moment. So it's almost like gaining a different perspective back on ourselves. And that's something that we can really practice wherever we are. So no expensive apps required, no particular subscriptions required. For a lot of people, they might really relate to body-based mindfulness exercises. So some people might practice yoga or Tai Chi, or in actual fact, even just going to the gym or going for a walk. That's probably one of my favorite go-to active mindfulness exercises, to be out and about and really to focus on sounds around me, focusing on breathing. So yeah,
it's interesting you say that. One of my producers was saying to me today that she thinks kids have this down, because you watch a kid when they're really into whatever activity they're doing, they're so present. They get into this kind of flow state where often as adults, and I've noticed it certainly with myself, but with others, we are so distracted. We go from thing to thing to thing. It's hard to concentrate, and it's hard to finish anything. Whereas we really, you know, channeling that kind of flow state, that moment by moment, as you say, it's something that kids do really well.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm so glad you bring that up. kids and dogs. Dogs are very mindful as well. In fact, you might have seen this really cute infographic where there's a person walking their dog, and there's a sort of this thought bubble about the above the person's head, thinking of all kinds of things, and the dog just thinks of walking.
Yeah.
So then there's this question: mind, is your mind full, or are you being mindful? And yeah, that's a very good example. Dogs and children are very good at mindfulness.
I've just had a text while we've been talking. It says, hey, Prue, I've got the best form of mindfulness, listening to cricket on the ABC while fishing and drinking a few beers. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh.
Look, fishing, I think, is one of those underrated activities, isn't it? Because you often are just sort of by yourself and you are very much in the moment.
Yes. I mean, I don't fish, so I can't really comment on that in that specific sense. But certainly anything that makes you feel grounded, that helps you to calm your nervous system or to bring yourself back to that state of present awareness, non-judgmentally, and really just noticing at what's happening, yeah, for you in that moment, physiologically or physically, emotionally, mentally. Yeah.
I'm chatting with Anne-Marie Menny, who is a mind and body educator and also a clinical psychologist. Anne-Marie, so we're talking about some of those mindfulness activities that don't necessarily have to be meditation, but if you do decide you want to go down that route and try it, meditation can be daunting. You may have tried it before and it didn't work. What are your tips for people to do it without, I mean, you don't have, as you say, you don't have to invest in huge sums in apps and things like that, but how do you do it so that it is effective?
Definitely. So I often refer clients or even friends and family to a basic mindfulness website. Perhaps there's certainly Smiling Mind, which is an Australian website, which is really helpful and provides some really nice intros to mindfulness. And this is probably also an important point to consider, that more is not necessarily better. So I think sometimes people have this idea of, oh, I can't meditate, or I don't have the time, or, oh, you know, my mind wanders. That's so normal. So there's also been a lot of research that suggests that small bite-sized mindfulness exercises, even just noticing your own breathing for, say, 3-4 minutes, or noticing sounds around you can be really helpful in calming your nervous system. So research that I've been looking at, for example, suggests that there weren't significant differences between participants who engaged in 10-minute mindfulness exercises and those who engage in 20-minute mindfulness exercises. So start slowly, start with something that's actually manageable. So again, whether you might like to start with a guided meditation, again, there's free apps like Smiling Mind, for example, or this is what I do after work each day. I set my timer for 6 or 7 minutes, and basically I just lie down and I notice what's happening around me. Usually I start with sounds because that gives me a really good focus point. And then I usually notice my mind wandering, because that's what our minds do. And it allows me then to look at, oh, wow, so that thought is coming up. Oh, interesting. Or I might notice my breathing perhaps being shallow if I've had a pretty stressful day. Or I might notice all kinds of thoughts popping up. But those 6-7 minutes for me are kind of like nice breathing space. So figuratively and quite literally.
And with the festive season coming up, it can be called the silly season sometimes. It's probably good to start that now. Anne-Marie, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Prue.
Anne-Marie Menny is a clinical psychologist. She's a mind and body educator. She's also a trauma-informed yoga teacher. I did not know that that existed, but there you are. You are listening to ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria. Do you meditate? Has it helped you? Do you have any tips for us? I'd love for you to get in touch with me, 1300 303 468. You can text on 0467 842 you can also tell us your bright spot for the week for happy hour. Neville says this 54-year-old hoon got his license back. Congratulations, and hopefully you won't lose it again, Neville. Be good, please. Donna in Gippsland says, my 3 kids ate all their dinner last night, winning. See, it is really the small things sometimes that make you weak. And the cool change has arrived in Notuck in southwest Victoria, which is fantastic as well. Hopefully you're cooling down wherever you are. Let me know what the weather's like where you are. It has been pretty warm in some parts of the state, certainly quite blowy as well. Not too bad, apparently, in Wheatsheaf in central Victoria. Not very strong winds, bit of rain, hope it remains so. Says, actually, I don't know who that is. Pop your names on your texts if you can. If not, being in a bushfire area might not be a bad night. Hopefully not for you. Thank you so much for your text as well.